Hello, everybody, and welcome to Margs with the Boys. Shout out to all of our audio listeners. Check us out on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to interact with the show, hashtag MWTB on Twitter. And if you want to ask questions at the end, that's q.jiggy.live. I'm Scootish. No, I'm not. I'm not Scootish. I'm some other schmuck. I'm Luke. Hi, I'm Luke. Wow. I'm here with everybody else.
We actually got a professional podcaster in the building.
That was incredible.
Like, man,
that was good.
I got chills.
We should just use that for every intro.
Yeah, can we just
yeah.
just cut it right before
when you ask me to do something, I go all in on it, man. Just all in.
Cut it right before he says he's not Scootish. And then it's good. It's perfect.
Yeah. Really good stuff. Really good stuff. Anyway, hello, welcome everybody. With us today, you just heard from Luke. Luke is our guest boy.
Hello.
My name is Jiggy.
Guest boy.
My name is Jiggy, and with me also today is...
I'm TB for good. Moving down the line. Wrong way.
other way.
Well, we already got Luke.
Oh,
shoot.
Luke. We have to go past Luke.
So we have to, like, cycle...
Skip me.
Yeah. And then Doug or not, that's me.
There we go.
Yes.
The four
boys.
What episode is this? Is this six?
It's six.
Doing this for a long time. I'm dropping frames on Twitch, so if you're on audio, you're having a ball right now because you don't have a bad experience, but Twitch, you're having a bad experience. I can't believe
Twitch viewers, just close your eyes.
Yeah, just close your eyes and listen.
Yep.
We're already at
episode six, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Margs of the Boys, episode 6. So, Luke, you're our first guest boy. For everybody on audio, Scootish is sick. He has scurvy. He did not eat his vegetables.
No, didn't you, kill him with swords or something?
No! No. Mm. No, I did not. I did not fight him with swords, but...
Okay.
Well, the swords somehow cause a vitamin C deficiency.
Yes.
It just knocks it right out of you.
I thought scurvy was legitimately just if you don't eat your vegetables.
It's if you don't eat fruit.
It's vitamin C. So, they would pack, citrus fruits on the pirate ships.
All right. Well, I promise everyone who listens, especially on Spotify, that I will visit Scootish and I will bring him an orange. All right. I'll bring him an orange.
Now you're just going to bust
very
out
good,
of,
very good.
Bust down his door with a ninja sword again.
Made of oranges.
Today we are going to be talking about movie games. Now you've all played them. If you played a video game, or you've been to GameStop, or in reality you've been to Walmart and you've seen the giant bargain bin of $3 Wii games, you've seen a movie game. So we're going to talk about the good ones, the really bad ones, and the shovelware, which I think is even worse than the bad ones.
And then maybe ones we might want to see someday. Who knows?
Ooh.
Yeah, sure. But I figured that we would start talking about our big topic for the day, which is movie games.
Ooh. Now,
this is different from movies, of course.
Yes, these are game video games that came out based on or related to a movie. And I feel like these have actually fallen off in recent years. You don't see many of them anymore. Do you?
Consider the MCU is every movie nowadays, and there's a ton of Marvel games. Would those tie in, or are those comic book games? They're not using the likeness.
Those are Marvel games, though.
Yeah.
Avengers isn't related to the film.
Yeah, so since every movie has to be a superhero movie now,
yes,
there's not much in the way of
the Insomnia Spider-Man game. Did you play that, Doug?
No, I didn't. That's the PS5 one?
It was on PS4, PS5. It's
very
good. But it's nowhere related to any film.
I didn't play
that one. But it's nowhere related to any film. It's just a Spider-Man game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about you go to the movies and you see Minions, and then you go and you buy the Minions.
You go
video.
Home. And boy, you can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, man.
I'm talking about Ratatouille, the game for the GameCube, dude. I'm talking about Shrek Super Slam, Aladdin. these are games that used to be really, really big. They used to make, if they made a movie, they made a game about it.
Mm-hmm.
they don't really do that anymore. At least I don't think they do. I don't. It's hard. Maybe it's just because I don't buy them anymore. But
well, okay. I found a Wikipedia page, and its latest entry is from 2017.
Oh, good.
Planet of the Apes: Last Frontier.
Oh,
that sounds like a banger.
Yeah,
that might be a little outdated because a Predator game just came out here like a few months ago.
Did a Predator movie? Well, I guess the franchise is movies. Yeah. Have Predator movies been coming out lately? I guess it doesn't matter.
I know. When was the last Predator?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Maybe Alien vs. Predator or something.
I think that might be right.
But there, you're correct that there is no shortage. This will be a bit of a retro thing though, because we're not seeing a lot of them lately.
It's weird because back in the day, like back when I was younger, and I'm sure everyone here was younger, they used to come out for everything.
Well, there's there's such a big sort of push from a lot of people to get licensed content, like Fortnite, like Dead by Daylight has all of the movie monsters in it. Friday the 13th, I guess, the exception, because it had its own game.
No, Friday the 13th is in it.
Oh, he's in it now? Okay.
Well, I didn't know that.
Jason?
No, there's no Jason, but there's calls to Jason, and of course Jason has his own video game. That's a whole different game.
Yeah, so a movie game under consideration here. But yeah, I feel like maybe we're moving away from that because all of them are getting their sort of IP put into games in other ways.
I think that it's a different... It's kind of weird thinking about that now that you said that, Doug, because it's one of those things where... You're right. If Fortnite and Dead by Daylight and all of them are prime examples of, it's kind of like a different thing. And maybe it's because of the fact that the number one thing I think of when I think of, and tell me if I'm wrong. The number one thing I think of when I think of movie video games is, oh no, they're bad.
Yeah. Yeah, generally.
I agree.
Like franchise games have been like, I mean, there's good examples of them, of course, but a lot of times they're quite bad. Yeah.
Hey, I played the heck out of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire on the original Xbox.
Oh my god!
Really good though. Isn't that one like critically acclaimed as like an amazing Harry Potter game?
I don't think
no.
Those like a couple of the Game Boy ones were good, but I don't think any of like the 3D ones are any worth it.
I don't remember any of them being particularly good.
I remember there being one really really good Harry Potter game.
I think it was like, the second one on the PlayStation 2. Cause I remember like you had to like manage what spells you were learning in classes, and it was a completely open school.
Wow.
But Goblet of Fire was just level based and it told the same story and it was bad.
Yeah, and then the seventh one is like a Gears of War clone. It's a cover-based launch shooter. Yeah.
Weird.
It's incredible.
Oh, that's great.
Like, my top 3 movie games of all time. Like I'm talking like these are games that are in my opinion are still genuinely good. Like you can go play them and you will have a good time, and they are based on movies. It'd be Spider-Man 2 on either PS2 or GameCube. Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire.
Oh, it's like it's got him in it.
Dude, it's busted. That game is whole reason why Insomnia decided to make Spider-Man on PS4 is because of Spider-Man 2 on PS2.
How many times does Shrek appear on this page? Yeah. 8 times.
Yep. I was gonna say Shrek Super Slam.
Oh, 4 times, okay.
Shrek Super Slam is really up there, and I am a sucker, of course, for the anything Star Wars. So I'm a big sucker for PlayStation 2, Star Wars: Revenge of the Sith. It was a fighting game. It was literally a side like Mortal Kombat Tekken style fighting game that you played as Jedi, and it's slept on, dude. It slept on.
Yeah, Star Wars. I remember playing a lot of Battlefront.
Yeah,
a lot of Battlefront.
Yeah, and
but is that a movie game?
It's like a movie game.
Well, so many of these like franchises.
I would consider it a movie game.
Like, there's a ton of these franchises that aren't sort of rooted in one medium.
Yeah,
like, I mean, Marvel. That's comics and movies. Harry Potter, that's books and movies. Like, a lot of this stuff sort of double dips, and it's in a lot of places.
That's kind of like a bridge the gap. I would argue to say Harry Potter never really landed in the video game medium, whereas the movies, obviously it lands because it's a book to a movie. People want to see their favorite books in a visual medium.
Yeah.
But none of the games really hit that mark.
Well, people really liked the Scott Pilgrim game, but those were based... Well, like, that was more based on the graphic novel than it was on the movie. So...
Yeah. No, because it came out before the movie, didn't it?
That's 2010. When did the movie come out?
It's crazy because going on what Luke said, a lot about Battlefront. Mm-hmm. And TB says it's a movie game. I think it is that weird borderline between movie game and also it's just a Star Wars game, because Star Wars had a whole branch of Lucas, like Lucasfilm, called LucasArts, that would make Star Wars media, whether it be board games or movies or anything like that. But Star Wars, no, we're still dropping frames. Whatever.
Well, LucasArts made non-Star Wars content as well. Like,
barely.
Star Wars is a rare example of a franchise that could bridge that gap.
Doug's pissed.
You're wrong. No, it's like
talking about Monkey Island right now.
Well, yeah, like they competed with Sierra to make like graphic adventure games back in the day, and they were like the two big names in them was Sierra and LucasArts. So like barely they made other things in Star Wars. No, they had their own thing, for sure.
You're right. But what I was gonna say and why I agree with TB on this is the whole actual selling point of Battlefront when it came out back in 2005? I think it was 2004. And it was 2004, then 2006 for Battlefront 2. Battlefront was sold as play the movies. Battle the movies. The whole selling point was... Yes, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and every battle in the original one was based off movie scenes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just going to read the box out here.
But they also... The entire, like... single player campaign of Star Wars Battlefront was narrated from the perspective of a soldier from a specific movie battle. It was really cool.
Yeah, battle on unique planets from the entire Star Wars saga.
And I feel like Star Wars was six. I think Battlefront played into that, and eventually that was the sole reason they were able to bridge that gap. But LucasArts already had its tethers in the video game field, so it just kind of went naturally. Whereas a lot of these are like big companies that just pump out games. EA, Activision,
THQ.
THQ, they're
THQ,
all...
THQ, baby!
They're all just like grabbing these licensed... Properties, pumping out games just to make a quick buck off of it. Like, one of the biggest, like, bad series of games to come out of it was, like, the Lord of the Rings franchise. They butchered those games.
Oh, man.
Wait, hold the phone. Uh-oh. TV. Hold the freaking phone.
If you're going to tell me any of those games were good... I'm going to leave this call right now.
Leaving immediately.
You're telling me, TB, that you did not like Battle for Middle Earth?
Which one was that? There were 900 of these games.
Battle for Middle Earth, if I'm correct, was... Wait. Or maybe it wasn't Battle for Middle Earth. What was
about the real-time strategy game?
That is the RTS.
I'm talking about the Star Wars Battlefront clone. There's a clone.
I didn't know that.
Rings. Can you fight as an Oliphant? Can you be one of the big elephant things?
Oh my god. There's a game that came a Conquest. Is it just called Conquest? I think it's called
Conquest
Lord
of Middle
Rings
Earth.
Conquest.
Huh.
It was just called Lord of the Rings Conquest. It came out for the PS3 and the and the 360. It was literally made in the Star Wars Battlefront 2 engine. And it has the same
That's why there's laser
the
guns.
Command post mentality. Super fun game. But you're right, it was a mess.
Well, it's
it was a mess.
It's hard to navigate, like, especially with some of these properties, like Lord of the Rings, like Star Wars. There's there's dozens of games that have been made based on like extremely popular properties, especially once the movies started coming out. For Lord of the Rings, especially, like nobody cared about that stuff until Peter Jackson made those movies in like 2001 or whatever when they released. Like, it was for nerds before that, and now it's very mainstream.
It's interesting.
Well,
Star Wars is a weird example because of the fact that Star Wars, the first like Star Wars games were the ones that were based entirely off the movies for the SNES, and like, well, there were also ones on the NES, and there's a couple on the I think the
N64 Star Wars Episode One Racer, the best game ever.
Absolutely. I love that game.
Yeah, that
so
game
much.
Actually rules.
Yeah,
like, that's the thing is like you make it to the point where Star Wars. I feel like, and this is what I agree with TB on is Star Wars has these weird things where they make Star Wars Episode Two for the Game Boy Advance where it's a mess, absolutely garbage mess, you know, whatever. But then they make a game like Star Wars Bounty Hunter, where you learn the story of Jango Fett, and you're going around the galaxy with the two pistols, and you're doing all this crazy stuff. It's this crazy action RPG adventure. And then they have like games like Star Wars. Again, I'm going on Star Wars, but Star Wars Empire at War, which is a top-down strategy game, which in my opinion is one of the greatest Star Wars games ever made.
Well, yeah. And now go ahead.
So every game in the like the Star Wars franchise that they made pretty good except for the ones that are literally the movie.
Yeah.
So like, Star Wars Episode 2, Star Wars Episode 3, those games were tragically bad.
And Lord of the Rings.
The one on the PS2. And I would argue that any game developer or publisher that has tried to make one for one the movie has blown it.
Yep.
Absolutely blown it.
Is there one?
I mean, maybe like King Kong or something. That was kind of fun.
Harry Potter for the Game Boy Color is an RPG.
No, not Jack Black's.
It's pretty good.
Wait, what?
It's a turn-based RPG, and it's all right.
Yeah. See, like,
I gotta hear about Harry Potter Game Boy
Color. There's two of them. First two are both on the Game Boy Color. They're like it's a turn-based RPG. You can collect chocolate frog cards. Like you can run around the story. I mean, the story's kind of there. It's probably sort of.
A mess. I think I want to.
It's good.
Yeah, and Lord of the Rings has Lord of the Rings: The Third Age, which is like a turn-based RPG, and it's all right. But it's like nobody played it. It's like the only passable one. It's like based off the movies, and then nobody played it.
Yeah.
See, I feel like this now we're leading into the messes, and I think that agrees with Luke. But I had to ask: is there a single game that was based entirely off of a film that was genuinely good that you guys have played? Spider-Man 2.
Good.
The only thing that comes to mind is Peter Jackson's King Kong, not Jack Black's thing. Like, Peter Jackson's King Kong was pretty fun, from what I remembered.
There was a Watchmen game that was bad. There's all sorts. There's no shortage of bad games out there.
And when these games were being pumped out week after week, I was pretty little. I enjoyed a lot of them, like The Incredibles for the GameCube.
Yeah.
Nope, it's not a good
game. I remember that.
But I liked it back then.
Yeah, I mean it's for children. Nemo. A lot of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo had one of the hardest levels ever. We had to bounce on freaking jellyfish, and it was a mess.
SpongeBob for the PS2.
SpongeBob, yeah. The Battle for Bikini Bottom.
To these companies. Well, Battle for Bikini Bottom is a whole different level.
That's its own thing. Like, okay.
Yeah, we're talking about the movie, the game.
Oh, the movie, the game.
Yeah,
of course.
The movie, the game.
Excuse me.
Right. Because Battle for Bikini Bottom is in the world, but it's not like one for one the movie.
What about the Lego movie video game?
Those are a whole
different. I don't know.
I feel like that's like a whole
those are different.
Lego games?
Yeah, Lego games are good for what they are.
I've heard very good things about, like, I think the Star Wars ones, about the Batman one.
The Lord of the Rings ones.
There you go.
Lego
there
Star
go.
Wars,
Luke,
the video game.
Showing Lego Star Wars
for
PS2,
all of our audio people, Lego Star Wars, the video game.
For PlayStation DOS.
Lego Batman's good.
Yeah. No, I
Lego Marvel is good.
Lego has slowly gone downhill in my opinion, but maybe it's because when I was younger, Lego Star Wars 1 and 2 was like in my PS2 and I 100%ed no life those games to the point where like I got everything.
Hear me out.
Okay.
GoldenEye for the N64.
Ooh.
Literally based on a movie. And is right. like a formative experience for everyone who had an N64 and at least one friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's just talk about GoldenEye. GoldenEye is weird phenomenal. That I love GoldenEye. And I'm also one of the weirdos who loves GoldenEye Wii, okay? Because GoldenEye Wii, I had more fun with my friends than I had with GoldenEye N64 because it was the game we could play online. And yes, we sat at home on telephones. Landlines.
Oh my
playing
goodness!
Playing on Wii Connect 24. We were those weirdos.
Yeah, someone's got to be.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where GoldenEye itself, it's a movie game. It's based on the movie. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like its claim to fame is entirely based on its fun. It's a first-person shooter multiplayer game on a console. The original first-person multiplayer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It broke a lot of ground there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's a great game. You can still play it to this day and have fun. But
oh, yeah.
Was it the movie part of it?
No, it definitely wasn't. But like, okay.
Yeah,
that's just being a little pedantic. But
yeah,
it is a movie game.
That is a good example, though, of an actual good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jiggy, I cannot think of what happens in the game. I can only think of playing with friends.
Yep. Mm hmm. Slapping each other
and the multiplayer.
We always would yell at the kid. I had a buddy of mine who used to always play as Oddjob.
Yeah,
we'd all like destroy him. We were like, "You're not allowed to play as Oddjob. You're not."
Yeah.
No, the hats were too OP, dude. You can't throw hats and get one shot.
And he was shorter than everyone else. You couldn't hit him. He was too small.
Thanks for reminding me of that.
And but you could say the same thing about Alien versus Predator, like a more recent example. Like that game, it wasn't near the level of GoldenEye, but it did have fun multiplayer, and that's the part I remember of it. Was
me
the
too.
The multiplayer,
absolutely. Yeah, it was really fun. It was just kind of new, I guess. It was just fun. Yeah. I don't know.
It took an idea that was like something like when you're watching the movie, you'd be like, "This is really cool." To do if one of us could play aliens and one of us could play predators and there'd be people with guns and we could all battle all in just an arena together.
Well, it's a sort of early example of asymmetric multiplayer as well, which
is
like very cool.
Oh yeah,
like Splinter Cell did it really well, not based on a movie, but like it did that with the spies versus mercs type stuff. But I think like doing stuff like that is a very sort of early example. But of course, like choosing characters and stuff in GoldenEye also did that.
Yeah, so if you were to make a movie into a video game, the ones that stand out as good are ones that also do something new with the video game frontier.
Mm-hmm.
That those movies are lend well to.
Yeah. Like
are like new ideas for video games.
Yeah, the actual property it's based on wasn't necessary. It just happened to be there while they made a very cool or fun game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they would have probably done very well if they had been like a standalone. Like Perfect Dark, for example, was basically GoldenEye. And it did well enough. People like that game.
Yep. Arguably more than GoldenEye. Like people say like GoldenEye is like the nostalgia, whereas Perfect Dark was like the
it was like a perfection experience. Was it the same people?
Yeah, like, it was like the perfection. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
they like perfected
Perfect
the formula
Dark
there.
Rare? Didn't Rare make Perfect?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's on the Rare Replay Collection, so it must have been Rare.
Yeah, I think Rare made Perfect Dark, where GoldenEye wasn't Rare, I don't
was
think.
That, who like, boy, if we had done any research,
who made GoldenEye?
How cool would that have been?
I hold on.
Rare by Rare and published
Rare.
By Nintendo.
Yeah,
let's
because
go. Same
Grant
people.
Grant Kirkhope. Grant Kirkhope did the soundtrack, so I'm like, oh, that's got to be Rare.
Yeah.
Because they were all friends.
Let's go Rare.
It's interesting because of the fact that, yeah, that means they totally they made GoldenEye, which was a licensed property, and then they made Perfect Dark.
They made a better version.
Yeah, they yep. took the learnings yeah. and they iterated on and improved it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then, of course, let's well, we've been talking about good stuff, but why don't we talk about the wonderful world of THQ?
Oh now, boy!
If you all remember, these are the people that would make that made games. That like TB was talking about, where it's like Incredibles, or in this case, their first licensed video game, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York for the Nintendo Entertainment System, James Bond Jr. Let's see, The Great Waldo Search, which was Where's Waldo, Wayne's World, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, and then if we scrolled we scroll even farther down here, they made games such as Star Wars Episode One, Obi-Wan's Adventure for the Game Boy Color, and of course, wonderful, wonderful games such as Rugrats in Paris.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, those are all very
You're just
big.
Like unlocked memories.
THQ made a lot of games.
Well, consider the 2010 Wii game from THQ titled The Last Airbender based on the movie of critical acclaim, The Last Airbender.
How can you do that? How can you take that and make a game out of it?
I don't know, but I found the Wikipedia page and I regret it.
It's one of those things where THQ makes shovelware, in my opinion. Like, a lot of it's shovelware. But then every once in a while, they make something like Chef's Kiss. Like, I'm talking like, ooh. Like, a really, really good example of here is called Scooby-Doo Night of 100 Frights. If you've ever played that, it's a platformer.
Yeah, I did play that one.
Open world game. That game, I remember like crazy. To the point where it was so good that I played it during Jigtober a few years ago. It was that good.
Oh, wow.
That game was crazy. And then, of course, there's all kinds of... THQ did Battle for Bikini Bottom. THQ did...
I'm looking at their list. It is a lot of licensed games. It is almost exclusively licensed
That's
stuff.
That's all. Yeah,
so,
pretty much all.
Okay, so, like, Game Boy Advance. So truly, like, THQ is responsible for all of the, like... I remember growing up and getting, like, Ratatouille and Meet the Robinsons and Cars and... Like that crap, you know?
Yep. Rugrats in Paris.
Rugrats in Paris. Oh, dude.
Oh my God. Do you have Rugrats? No.
There you go.
Breaking the rules.
Breaking the rules.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how much they made, they made, you know, tacking the power of Juju. You know, THQ.
Oh, yeah.
SpongeBob SquarePants, the movie, the game. They made the Polar Express, the game. They made everything. If you have watched a television show from the 2000s, THQ has probably made a video game about it. I promise you.
The Lizzie McGuire movie, the video game.
Yeah.
That sounds like the worst video game ever.
I cannot imagine what the gameplay loop is in there. But it's on Game Boy Advance, PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube, and Microsoft Windows.
Yo, the Polar Express for the PS2.
Oh, absolute I remember classic. That. Oh my goodness.
Oof.
So it's one of those things where you make these games and TB, like TB, you mentioned it, and I think somebody in we got core traction in our Twitch chat saying Cars. Cars was released in June of 2006 for Game Boy. Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, GameCube, Mac OS, Microsoft Windows, Nintendo DS, PlayStation 2, PlayStation Portable, Xbox, and Xbox 360. That means they made that many games.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
maybe.
And they have to be different versions for, like, the handheld versus console.
Yeah, like the... You can't. Oh, yeah, like Harry Potter did that, too. Like, there were...
Yeah, Curious George.
Curious
game
George.
Really close to my heart.
Just check right. out. How's the leaderboard doing on that?
I think I'm in third now.
Nice.
I think somebody else beat me. Somebody else got a world record other than the guy that held it for a long time.
Nice. Ooh. Anyway, yeah, so, like they like
how many people did THQ employ? Like their list of games is ridiculous, and they had to port it to like billions of different platforms. Man.
Yeah. They have.
How did they pull this off?
They have a whole bunch of like sub developers. Like I'm looking through this list right now, and they have like, just so many ones that I've never heard of. Universimo, Locomotive Games, Heavy on Irons, Rainbow Studios, Beenox.
So these are just like sub studios.
Also, maybe they published THQ, a lot of these more than just developing.
Yeah, they published.
Oh, THQ though. THQ.
Yeah, but they made like Destroy All Humans and Red Faction and like Saints Row.
Well, they're gone now. Also, oh, they made
Star
Metro.
Star Wars Episode One Racer. There you go. Star Wars Episode One Racer. That's a THQ produced game. Like every once in a while, it's a, you know. But those are games that they distributed. That's the thing. Yeah. Like technically, the last video game that THQ produced was Darksiders 2. If I'm correct. No, I'm sorry. It was Jeopardy. I lied. It was Jeopardy.
Oh, Jeopardy.
Oh, dang.
What am I thinking? It was Jeopardy.
Jeopardy.
But it's interesting because in my mind, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. It's not just THQ. Other people have made licensed games. Believe me, other companies have made licensed games. Ubisoft has made a lot of licensed games. But dang. I think it's the point. There's a point in my life. There's a point back when I was younger, where I played enough of Finding Nemo, or I played enough of Rugrats Go to Paris, or I played enough of and those are the good ones. I played it like Puss in Boots or whatever.
Did you?
That I just said, well, no, I didn't play Puss in Boots.
Okay, I was gonna say
that was after my time, but like you know, I'm just scrolling through there. I think Wheel of Fortune, Penguin, March of the Penguins, the video game. Come on,
yeah. Like,
is that one narrated? Is that one narrated by Morgan Freeman?
I hope so. I hope so.
Awesome.
it's like I got to the point where I just said it's time to stop. And
it's
just,
time to play Halo.
Like, it's time to play a game. Honestly, that yeah. A publisher worked hard yeah. on. Like, not saying these guys didn't work hard on it, but, like, it's time to play good video.
Yeah, we've definitely identified that, like, there were a few kind of standout hits, but for the most part, it seems like a lot of these are just kind of cash grabs. And it's, like, we have the title, we have the whatever, the property, we need to just, you know, clunk something out. For kids to play, for kids to beg their parents for.
Movie's coming out next weekend, and we should put out a video game so we make some money.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
You know, and I don't blame them for doing that. I'm not going to shun movie games here because, like we said, there are a very, very small group of them that are absolutely amazing. But what's one that you, Doug, do you remember the movie game that you played that you were just like, yeah, this is really bad? Like maybe you got it as like a gift. Because I know I got a lot of movie games as gifts. It was like my birthday, or it was... Oh, he looks at the thing. But I got a lot of movie games as gifts, and I was like... there was a point. I remember the point. But, yeah. I'm just going to pause and remind everybody in chat to ask us your questions. Ask us what we thought about if we played a game. Ask us anything you want in the chat. If you're on the Spotify or the any of those platforms, go to hashtag MWTB tell us your questions.
Oh yeah.
All right, Doug, do you remember?
No, I feel like I didn't play many bad games that were based on movies. I played plenty of bad games. But...
I've already mentioned my definitive like, okay, this one's bad, and that was the Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, you're right. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone for PlayStation 1 is probably the bad movie game that I've played. It was... The voice acting was just...
PS1 Hagrid?
Oof. Yeah, PS1 Hagrid, who was just
like... PS1 Hagrid, dude.
It is a sight to see. I'm sure Googling Luke, image... Oh, yeah.
Definitive, like, the moment you ended... Your relationship with video game movie games?
Yes, there was a Harry Potter game that...
Super 2 Harry Potter.
I don't remember which one it was, but it's where you show up. He's like, I'm going to Diagon Alley, and then he like shows up in the store or whatever.
That would probably be the first one.
the first one. I'm not up on the Harry Potter lore, but there was definitely a Harry Potter game that I played where it drops you into like a store, and I couldn't figure out what to do. I could not for an hour, could not figure out what to do or how to get out of the store. And I just quit. I stopped playing the game, and I like returned it to Blockbuster or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was it.
They're like, this isn't due for another week. And you said,
yeah, that's where I played the most of these two, was renting them.
Renting or gift. Renting or gifts. That was how it was. Mine's kind of sad because it was a published LucasArts film game. It was a published LucasArts game. It wasn't made by LucasArts. It was published. It was called Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings. I don't know if you've ever played that game.
Okay.
I love Indiana Jones. Big fan. And I thought they were this is for the Wii. And they were advertising this game as the fourth Indiana Jones movie. This is before Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls.
So, yeah, okay.
The story continues. Which I know this could argue because it's not a movie game, but it's a franchise game.
Well, yeah, I mean, Battlefront isn't either, so let's just go with that.
But that was the moment where I was the most disappointed with that game. I just was like, all right, it's officially we're done with movie games.
Anything like Uncharted? Like, was it before Uncharted? Because like
I played Uncharted because it was Wii.
Oh, when did Uncharted?
They advertised it. I don't know if Uncharted was out, but they advertised it as this adventure, open world Indiana Jones game. And in my mind, it sounds like Uncharted.
It's after Uncharted. So, like, they had already sort of nailed... Like, Uncharted was 2007, and this was 2009. So, like, I feel... I don't know if they nailed Uncharted, because they did just murder everyone. And Indiana Jones definitely didn't do that. But that's just what video games were in the aughts. Like, what do? You just have to kill everyone. Like, there's the big talks about ludonarrative dissonance and stuff, which we won't get into because it's boring and annoying, but
true, but yeah, it is,
but that was a big thing. So I think they like people who wanted to sort of scratch that itch of like, I want to be Indiana Jones without, you know, whatever. So I'm sure they messed that up because Uncharted was already there.
Yeah.
It was one of those times where I think, it was Indiana Jones came out and I played it way, way after it came out. I think no earlier. I think I played it right when it came out. And then I think I put it down and played some other Wii game that came out. It was what you said, it was 2008, so it was a Nintendo game, of course. So it was like the difference in quality was kind of there very much. I forget what it was, 2008, so it wasn't Galaxy because I played Galaxy in 2007. Galaxy 2 was 2008 or 2009?
I don't know.
It was 2009, right?
But I mean, that's the difference between a company that really like takes the care to put a lot of polish into something, to iterate on it, to like come up with interesting gameplay ideas and execute on them, versus we paid to have the face of Indiana Jones and we need to do something with it. And then, you know, they start with that instead of starting with like, oh, here's a cool gameplay idea. How can we, you know, build a whole game around that instead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Complete cash grab. Another one that comes to mind to me is the Chronicles of Riddick games.
Actually, like, one of those was very good.
Which one?
Escape from Butcher Bay on the Xbox.
I guess I paid the poopy one.
You must have. That one, that we've talked about that before, actually, I think. Where like,
because there's Assault on Dark Athena and there's that one.
Okay, yeah. We've talked about it before because that one's not backwards compatible because of just all the sort of hacks that they ended up doing to make it. It looked so... It was one of the best looking games on the original Xbox because, like, I don't know what they did, but they literally couldn't port it
forward.
Something. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked that one, at least. I think it was
another one that kind of put the nail in the coffin for me was a series of unfortunate events in the movie, the game.
Oh, yeah? Was Jim Carrey in it?
Oh, man.
Already a mess.
I remember it was bad.
Was there a Grinch game? Seeing...
Oh, I bet.
Has to be.
Probably. Yeah.
I remember going to Target, and just walking through the sections. I always would go to the video game section because, you know, I'm a whatever, and I would see like hundreds. I'm talking maybe not hundreds, but tens of tens of tens, almost, you know, probably around 100, if not 200 copies of Chicken Little on 360.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, that makes sense.
Chicken Little. Oh my goodness.
Shark Tale for the GameCube.
Shark Tale. Dude, I remember going to like Sears with my parents or something, and they had like a little corner of games, and on the TV, on the display, they had like the demo of Chicken Little happening, and it was the stupidest thing. And
Chicken Little.
Dude, demos at stores. Yeah. Remember those? There's a like a
remember stores
like a DS that was like stapled to the display, super, so you couldn't super, like, walk away with it.
Absolutely.
It may always have like the hinge broke on it.
Yeah, the hinge, you know, is broken, and like the screen is just annihilated.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
All right. I'm upset. I've never played either of these games, but I love the movies. Apparently, there are Godfather video games and there are Blade Runner video games.
Doug.
I feel like I've heard of the Godfather game.
There is a Fight Club video game.
Yeah, it's a fighting
game. Tell me that.
If you would believe it. It's a fighting game.
I wouldn't have guessed.
I think I heard of the Godfather 1 too, and I heard
this is germane.
Anybody in chat play the Godfather of the game?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I have Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, The Pumpkin King, as well, for the Game Boy Advance. It's a Metroidvania that my sister got for me. Because
it's a Metroidvania?
It's a Metroidvania. You run around as Jack Skellington, and you interact with all of the characters from the movie, including like some ones that barely make any appearance at all, like the Flesh Man or something. You see him for like a second. he's sticky or something, and like and they give you like abilities and stuff, and then you have to fight Oogie Boogie or whatever. Like, it's a game. It's a real game.
It's a real game. It's a real game. The big licensed game that I played when I was younger was the Finding Nemo one, and it was just a game that you played through the story of Finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. And
were there parts where you were in the dentist's office in the aquarium?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you had to escape the tank. You had to like jump, and it was, they had like quick time events where you press the A button or the B button to jump and flop like back and forth. And
okay, oh, you're losing me. It sounded cool at first. Yeah,
THQ.
Unfortunate.
But, if you're doing Jigtober or whatever, if you want to have a really stupid time, you should play the Saw video games. They're all horrible.
Oh, God.
They're all so, they're garbage. They're just garbage, dude.
I'm scrolling through a list of them right now, and Napoleon Dynamite. The game.
Oh my God!
What do you do in that game? Do you just play like the movie? Is that it?
I don't know.
That's
no. I want to know if they came up with some like alternative story. Like, the developers liked the movie so much that they were like, "Let's make our own version of the story," and it's just like horrible.
Dude,
I never played
video game show, movie like video games from movies. Did that? There was a lot of, and if I remember correctly, there's a lot, especially when it came to Star Wars or anything like that. There was a lot of games that would totally exaggerate the film. Like, for example, the earliest one I could think of is The Empire Strikes Back on SNES, where you open up as
hard.
Luke Skywalker.
So hard. Yeah, you're on Hawk.
Oh, my God. Those, all three of those games are hard.
The hardest games ever. They're super hard.
But I don't remember Luke Skywalker running around Hoth fighting giant snow rats, okay? I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. If there were a WarioWare minigame where you cut open a Tauntaun or something and stuffed Luke in, that would be super weird, too.
True, you're right. But it's just one of those things where I feel like some games took creative liberty with the way that they portrayed the story. And they kind of did that with a lot of different games, but obviously Super Star Wars is the one that I go to the most. Jurassic Park 3 on the Game Boy Advance. I don't know if any of you guys play that game.
No.
That was me. Jurassic Park 2 on the SNES, where you just go around shooting dinosaurs, because that's all. That was the movie. That was the movie.
That was the movie.
Movie was you shoot dinosaurs. That
would have been a way different movie.
Yeah,
different movie. You know?
I think the only handheld movie game I had was like Rocket Power, which was a TV show.
Yeah, that's a
That was horrible too. Like I couldn't figure out what to do. Just like the Harry Potter game, I was sitting there like, "What am I? I don't know what I'm doing."
I think they went to Australia in the movie.
There was a Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets on GBA that I couldn't even get past the first level. And I remember, like as a kid, I'd love it if I could find it because I'd love to see if I could beat the first.
Yeah, that's
level
another one where they like double dipped and stuff because there was Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, PS1, etc. For Game Boy or for Game Boy for Harry Potter 1 and I think 2 both had all of those.
Yeah. It's something. Once again, guys, if you have questions, ask us in the chat, ! I'm sorry, I'm literally still dropping frames, so I don't think I'm gonna be able to play Star Wars tonight, but we'll find out.
Yeah. The probably the last of the video game movies, at least like the kid ones that I tried to or that I at least had experience with, was the Kung Fu Panda video game. It came for free with my Xbox 360.
Whoa.
And not even a year after that game came out, I tried to trade it in at GameStop. They wouldn't even take it for free.
Wow.
Like they had so many copies of it.
Must have been real good.
Nobody wanted it, and it came with every Xbox.
Yeah, I remember going to like Blockbuster or whatever, and you would see like the sort of recent release that maybe came out like a month or so ago, and they would have like 400 copies like in the store because like nobody wanted it. And that was for movies. I'm sure the same thing worked with games as well, where they like stocked up right when it came out because everyone wanted it, and then before they could phase it out or sell all the copies, they just had too much on hand.
Yep.
See, here's the weird thing. It goes back to what TB was saying early on in the show, where some movie video games kind of push the boundaries. Again, the big one for me was Spider-Man 2, and of course GoldenEye, and you could there's a few other ones. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, which is a really really good racing game. But then like it's one of those things where it's like you could have games that kind of took that extra step, but then you realized why. Like, why did they add that extra step? So one of the big things I see here was there was a game called Drake and Josh Talent Showdown.
Oh my god.
A 16-bit Drake and Josh game on the DS where you unlocked extra bonus levels, like full-on bonus experience, if you had the Drake and Josh the video game on Game Boy Advance and you plugged it into the bottom of the Nintendo.
Wow.
That's advanced, dude.
Early Amiibo type stuff.
Like that was back. I remember the Nintendo DS having that kind of gimmick where some games unlocked things if you plugged things into the GBA port. But like THQ did that.
That's crazy.
Like, what? THQ, like if you had the Drake and Josh Game Boy Advance game, you unlocked more content. That's crazy. But
imagine buying more than one Drake and Josh game.
Hey man, don't you judge. That's like what they we can talk all about. We should do a show on games for girls. You guys remember the
Style Savvy for the DS? I will talk for
unfortunately
a long
games
time about
for
that.
Girls is still a thing. It's sad that they make like they do that stuff, but I would love to do a show based on that just to talk about that whole thing, because my sister was a victim of the let's pets PETZ with all of them. Like there's so many of them: pets, horses, pets,
Barbie games,
hamsters, brats.
Brats,
THQ made Brats the movie, the game, the showdown. It's called The Showdown.
The Showdown.
Oh my god.
That's scary.
The Showdown. Very intense. Very intense.
Yeah. Brats, dude. The Brats franchise.
I don't know why, but you just like popped Mary-Kate and Ashley's Sweet 16 License to Drive in my head.
That's a game.
Which is a horrible, very horrible, horrible video game. I think it was basically like Mario Party, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. It was exactly like that. I think it didn't have mini games though, or something. There's definitely like mini game or Mario Party clones that didn't have Mario mini games. Rather,
I have a question. This is a little off topic, but did anybody play Fortune Street?
No.
No.
I don't know what that
is. The Fortress Street was a Wii game that was made by Square Enix. Scootish is popping off in his scurvy
in his deathbed. Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Let me fill in for the Scootish persona.
Yes!
All right.
Jeez.
But yeah, I think it was produced by Square Enix. But it was Mario Party, but with Dragon Quest and Mario characters.
Oh.
It is all of that, yeah.
It was wacky. It was like this weird Dragon Quest plus Mario adventure party game. And I don't even remember if there was party games in that. Like it was like a weird Monopoly game, but
that is weird. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, neither have I.
I don't know. It's wacky.
But yeah, I've gone a little bit off topic. Plus, we can talk on and on about different games that have come out, if they were good, if they were bad. But let's talk about what movies could you see work, or do you want to see work in what type of game?
Okay.
For me personally, I just really want there to be an actual good Lord of the Rings MMO. That's the only thing I want. I'm a big MMO boy, and I love the Lord of the Rings, but the MMO was awful.
Ooh.
I just wish there was a good one.
Battle for Middle Earth 2?
I don't remember the name of it.
It was a top-down strategy game, right?
Yeah.
Battle
for Middle Earth. Oh, MMO. Sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking of... Yeah, I'm thinking you... I was thinking of RTS. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No, MMO.
Yeah. Battle for Middle Earth was like a Warcraft 3 clone, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Kind of.
I don't know. I love movies. We all know I love movies. And I think one of the big things that I would love, and I'm not going to say the easy route, which is please, gosh, make more
Star Wars games.
You're saying they need more?
They've made good Star Wars games, so that's kind of like, well, yeah.
And you've got an MMO.
More Star Wars games.
There's been some good Star Wars games. I agree. Yeah, but like... the most recent Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, terrible name in my opinion, still great, great game. Dark Souls clone, more or less, but really fun.
Yeah. Very much that.
Dark Souls combat, really, really fun. But in reality, I think the movie that I want a video game of, I really think it would be. It's weird because I go back to it all the time, and everybody always forgets this movie exists, but I would love a Snowpiercer game. Have you ever seen Snowpiercer?
Oh, yeah.
It's not Chris Hemsworth. One of the Chris's.
The other Chris.
There's so many Chris's in Hollywood now. I'm tired of it. They made a TV show about it recently. It's really great.
Chris Evans.
Okay. Snowpiercer is a movie that... is based on a manga. I'm afraid of manga, but hey, it's about a post-apocalyptic Earth where there's a crazy ice apocalypse, and the only remaining humans are on this train, and so this train just circles the Earth constantly. And I think that there could be a really cool experience created with that, with a video game, where you're maybe limited on that, like. Explorability, because you're stuck in a train, but it might be a social video game where you have to work your way up the train, or you have to work your way through an experience, or make
or like a hidden imposter game Among Us.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
make Among Us 2 already. What are we doing?
Among Us 2.
Yeah. What do you think, Luke?
Man, I'm a huge, 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 huge fan of horror games. I love horror games so much. Yep. And honestly, Alien Isolation has already done this for me, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, true.
Like, but I would love to see more horror movies, like horror games in the universes of the movies, like an It game or something. Like, because horror, you can just do so much cool stuff in horror games, and it's all like the developers messing with the player. And I think that's just like the coolest thing.
When you add player agency to a horror experience, it makes it a lot more engaging than like a horror movie. So yeah,
yeah,
I totally
absolutely
feel that.
Yeah, like when you are the interactivity one making the is bad huge. Decisions essentially yeah. that you're yelling at the characters
exactly.
on the movie screen for, like
yep. yeah,
that's very that's a great
yeah game. Like
did you play that game
Outlast?
Outlast.
Not Outlast. What's TV is a really good one. I can't. I'm blanking on
Amnesia?
It. It's a really good game. Nope. It's got paths. It's got snow. It's got Wii to go. I can't remember the name.
Oh, Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. Thank
Until
you.
Dawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very campy, but yeah.
Yeah. 20 different characters, and your decisions affect like who lives and dies, and like your
yeah.
ending
so
is different based on who's
that you're interacting
still there.
With.
Yeah.
It's a
yeah.
horror movie that you get to. Make decisions in that affects the story, and it's great. It's a great yep. Luke, have you ever played that game?
I haven't, and honestly I don't Dude. Think I want to because I've played really? Yeah, I don't I'm not a huge fan of the playable movie.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like I played Detroit Human and I thought it was great, but I don't know. I have more fun when I'm able to interact with the universe. I have yep. more fun. Yeah, like
yeah, there's David
like press
well.
X to not die is yeah. a thing, I guess.
Quick time events the game.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think what I liked and TB has played it and Doug, have you played Until Dawn?
No, but I've heard about it.
Yeah. I know TB's played it and I have definitely played it. And my sister has played it. I forced my sister into playing it.
I'm sure that was
she,
fun.
She actually really enjoyed it. She really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good.
I liked that experience probably more because it was I got to experience something for the first time. I don't know how much of replayability other than the fact that you want to experience maybe another storyline it has. But I understand why you guys aren't the biggest fan of that. But I definitely feel like it has a place in the horror genre of a mm-hmm. it's a playable movie, but your choices yeah. and the way Until Dawn's a great example of your choices, but also your ability to play the video game kind of matters.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
The jumping from character to character kind of thing kind of it kills the horror aspect of it. And I feel it's a very good mystery game. But it's okay. not that good of like a horror game. But it is very fun in its own right. If you like that sort of experience, I did like it better than mm-hmm. Detroit Become Human.
I didn't play Detroit Become okay. Human, but
yeah,
it's interesting because we talked a lot, and this is all honing back to what TB said in the beginning of the show. We talked a lot about older games. We talked about Cars, mm-hmm. the video game. Talked about the movie, the game, this and that, and this and that, and this and that.
The B movie,
but
the game.
Nowadays, this moves on to what Doug was saying, which is there are a lot of games that are or IPs or films that are being wrapped into currently existing IPs, as in they're very popular. Whether it be Fortnite getting a mm-hmm. Star Wars skin or a Predator skin. Fortnite just got a Predator skin. Or you're going on Dead by Daylight and you're getting Pyramid skin. Mm. There's a Resident Evil character coming to Dead by Daylight soon. It's one of those things where it's like, what is that where the intellectual property went? Is it too hard to make it? Have people caught on? Did video game movies, and this is my question for all you guys to end before we move on, I think, to questions. We still have questions, but what have video game movies been deemed by the mass public as shovelware? Or do you think if a movie game came out today that said this is an amazing experience that's based on this movie but it's a video game, would you be willing to buy it?
Other than niche scenarios like new original Star Wars story or something like that, or retelling of grand battles in the context of like Battlefront. Other than like if another series or movie were to do something along those lines, I think it has been played out for the masses.
Now, I think we're in sort of, as always, unprecedented times. But movies, like the movie sort of industry is suffering right now. Games,
yes,
like are harder to develop whenever, you know, people have to do it from home and stuff. So we've we've gotten, like we've predicted on this show, I think a you know, in the next year or so, we'll probably finally be hit by the fact that development time is taking longer and stuff because like all the stuff that was being worked on before the pandemic is finally released. And now like the stuff that is being worked on during the pandemic is underway and it's taking longer. So I think maybe the fact that we looked and like, oh, the last stuff we saw is 2017 or 2019 or whatever. Like, I feel like maybe that's affecting things as well. Maybe after things sort of calm down a little bit and movies become a thing again, because they're very much not, I think maybe we would have to revisit this or something, but it's definitely lessened nowadays. But I mean, as we talked about fad games before, Fortnite is like the ultimate fad game that made it essentially. And a great way to keep your hooks in people is to introduce things that make them feel nostalgia. And so they've been pulling in all this other IP for that.
Mm-hmm. I did just go to a movie theater for the first time since pre-COVID.
And really? What did you see? Yeah.
I saw the Demon Slayer movie.
Oh, yeah. That's so they released that for a week. So pretty much everyone who's seen a movie lately that I know has, that is the movie. Yeah. They saw with like, you know, 12 people in the theater all spread out. Because they made such a limited release and that's the only way to see it, which is kind of rude of them to do in a pandemic. But yeah, that's like...
Well, it did so well that it's still in theaters now. They extended it to the like partner theaters.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I saw that today. No, was it today? No, it was yesterday. Yesterday, Marvel put out their big boy trailer. I'm sure. I don't want to go on too long about this because I want to hear about Luke, about what Luke wants to hear about those. But Marvel put out their big boy trailer that basically announces the movies for the next 4 years. Like it's this year you got the Phase 4 trailer, as I'm told by the chat. This year you have Black Widow that's coming out in a couple of months. You got Shang-Chi. I'm sorry, internet, don't get mad at me. And the Seven Rings or whatever. I'm sleeping, dude. I'm sleeping right now. And then they're doing the Eternals this year. Yep. And then they have Spider-Man. They have
Captain Marvel too.
What's Doctor Strange, Ant-Man and the Wasp 3, Thor 4, and Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and I don't know what else. They basically released a whole bunch of like JPEGs of movies that are coming out.
It's just everything's a sequel nowadays.
Well, Marvel's Marvel.
Here are my JPEGs.
Here,
have some JPEGs.
Here they are. Are you excited for my
JPEGs?
These. Yeah. So movie theaters are coming back, which I'm very happy about because I have MC stock.
I think cinema as a whole, and this is a completely different topic, what we could touch on. We could probably do a whole episode about eventually, but I feel it's going to make a huge comeback, and there might be a few games out of it. Who knows?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think movie theaters are done.
No,
current state. We should do a movie. We're going to do a whole segment on this. We're doing a whole show on movie theaters in the coming future. You heard it from me. You know, it'll be great. But it's interesting. It's interesting you think that, TB. Just stay tuned, kids. Marks of the Boys, future.
Episode 7.
Whoa.
If they made a movie game that, and they said it was like the best insert gimmick here, would you buy it? Would you be down? And what would you want it to be?
If it were not one-to-one with the movie, then yeah, I love playing stuff that's in the universe of a movie that I really like. Like I already said, Alien Isolation. That's it for me, man. Like that's I love the Alien universe, and that is like incredible.
They nailed that game. Like it felt like you were in the first movie. Just even the aesthetic of just the spaceship is just like
one-to-one retellings don't work, but that worked.
Yeah. I just want to play things that are in the world of the movie that I like. I don't want to play the movie that I saw 20 minutes ago.
So going off of that, last little chat, and then we're going to move on to questions. Get your questions in right now, exclamation point Q in the chat. If there's a video game that is created that adds on to a story or draws from a story or adds to the overarching world building of, say, a movie or a film or a franchise, what do you guys expect from that? Like, I can use a really good example here. There are many, many Star Wars games build off that experience, including the most recent one. If they're canonically adding to the story, is it worth it, and is it considered a movie game? That's my question. Doug?
I'm never going to shut up about Alien Isolation.
I mean, if it's part of the canon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's potential there.
That would be cool.
Like anime, at least, has started doing things where they have taken their series and then they branch off to a movie that is the next step. So I feel like movie series could hop to a video game be canon.
Yeah, like anime movies, I think, especially suffer from a troubling sense of like there's no stakes or anything, because it's usually like a side thing, and they're like, oh, this one slots between these two episodes, and like, you know, it's not like in that episode after the movie, like they're by the way, this person died, like that can't happen. So you don't feel like there's there's a lot of like risk or anything that's going on, even though they're doing, you know, scary stuff. So it does suffer from that. But if they were to sort of double dip and say like, oh, this is canonical, like, I mean, for you Star Wars people, like, here's a Star Wars game that's in universe that's real. And, you know, Disney isn't going to say this isn't canon anymore, whatever they did whenever they bought the franchise. Whoops. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. There is potential for that, I think.
So then what happens? I don't know if this would ever happen, but what happens if they make the movie comes out, and then the game extends on the movie, and then another movie comes out, and then it extends on the game, and you had to play the game to understand what's going on movie two. Yeah,
that happens, Luke.
It does?
Yes. I'm going to use, again, I'm going back to Star Wars here.
I haven't seen it with a game yet.
Oh, it happens all the time in Star Wars universe. Okay, I'm going back to Star Wars. It's May the 4th. Here I am. Star Wars is the king, including the wonderful world now that we're in the wonderful world of Disney-owned stuff. Star Wars is the king of, you need to, if you want the overarching full experience of the story, you need to go and do this gimmick or watch this thing or play this video.
You need to
game.
Scan this QR code.
Sure. So for a really good example, we will relate to a recent video game, which is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Okay, you can play that game and experience it in the way that is super great, and you have a grand time doing it. But it rewards players that have watched not only all the Star Wars movies, but have also watched the Clone Wars television cartoon, which is 7 seasons of Jar Jar Binks. So it's one of those things where you get more out of it, more substance by playing the video game.
But we're saying is, how does that game in turn go back to affect the other mediums?
Well, it does. That game in particular relates to the Jedi Order as a whole. It's world building. The wonderful my favorite thing about not only Star Wars but a lot of different things is the world building. So something that a really good example, here's another video game, Star Wars Battlefront 2, made by EA back in 17 or 18? I don't know. 17. Yeah. That game went on for about 2 years. It actually launched with a story campaign that nobody played because it was a mess. But it shows some really cool little tidbits of the Empire, because it's taken from the Empire's perspective. Yeah. And so what it does is it builds on the propaganda of what it was like living on an Imperial planet. Now, what you're saying is, that doesn't really have to build on, like, you don't have to watch, you don't have to play the game in order to experience a movie, but it builds on the world and it builds on the actual characters that we love. Looking at you, TB, one of the things you said is, well, how does it affect future stuff? I think the number one thing I can branch out here, and unfortunately Scootish is sick, but Kingdom Hearts is the number one.
I was thinking about Kingdom Hearts, yeah.
How but those is don't... if you don't play a game, you're screwed.
Yeah.
That if you don't play a GBA game or an iPhone game, you're screwed.
But they are all games.
And yeah. It's no movie.
So we're talking about bridging mediums for in canon content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that again, I don't know, Luke, if you have any input, but in my mind, Star Wars really does that well, but also has always done that well. You know, using Jango Fett in Star Wars Bounty Hunter for the PlayStation 2, go play it. I don't know where. I think it's on PS4, but that is not canon anymore, unfortunately. I still believe it's canon, but it's one of those things where you find out about Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones. You figure out that he's the clone guy. He was the bounty hunter that they cloned and turned into this massive army. But you don't really know how that happened. You had to go play a video game to experience that.
You had to watch the Clone Wars TV show.
Yes. Mm. Well, no. Jango Fett, you had to go play the video game.
Oh,
but
okay. Well, that's just flavor. That's backstory. Like, again, it's not like necessary. You don't need to really know that.
Yeah. And I
okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Star Wars.
I think they were trying to attempt something like we're explaining, and we need to wrap this up soon, but they were trying to attempt that with Cyberpunk, because there was the game came out, but they were also going to make an anime that was like a prequel.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Go on, but I do have a point here.
And Final Fantasy 15 did that, where there's an anime that's a prequel. So there is potential for like series to hop mediums, like we've seen with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It hops a movie, TV show, but they're all self-contained little tidbits, rather than one story told in different segments.
I have a point on that.
But they're all like self-contained stories that add to the greater thing, and I think that's where you see the most success, rather than like get to a stopping point with one, do a little bit of this on another medium, and come back.
I feel like Marvel has done it in an almost bad way, and this I'm gonna use people are gonna get pissed off at me in the chat, or on Spotify. But I personally believe that Marvel has done it in a rough way, where a lot of the stuff that Marvel creates doesn't actually add to that overarching thing, and it heavily relies on what I consider to be the post-credit scene. Like,
true.
Basically, they over-rely. I'm going to use WandaVision as a great example. Yes, I enjoyed WandaVision. But in my opinion, it is on the same level as Star Wars, a Han Solo adventure movie, which it doesn't actually add anything that we really needed. It was just there. And it heavily relied on post-credit scenes, quote-unquote, to actually add to the overarching story. So you're watching a two-hour movie, or in WandaVision's case, a 45-minute movie. Techno's in shambles right now. He loves WandaVision. But...
oh no.
You're watching a 45-minute show or a 2-hour movie, but in reality you only have to watch a 3-minute at max post-credit scene in order to help you.
That you can look up on YouTube. Yeah.
Wild.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I would prefer the whole self-contained, doesn't really add anything, but also doesn't, you know, like, it's not necessary. It's completely not necessary. It's just nice to see that the, like, different thing. Like, this is a bad example, but Alan Wake and Control. Like, Control at the end kind of explains that it's all in the same universe. Yeah. Oh my gosh, right? And like that's world really building.
Yeah,
that's really cool. It's just building the world. It's not like necessary to know that
character development.
Now that you do know that, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Look, do you like being spoon-fed? You don't like being spoon-fed, right? I know you don't like being spoon-fed.
Well, I don't know. It might be okay. I've been
what does that mean?
You play Portal. You play Portal, right?
Sure. Portal
you
is
played half.
Portal's a masterclass in sort of in-universe tutorializing that is perfect. Like, and everyone should study that game. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, but you played Half-Life, right? Have you played Half-Life?
Oh yeah, I've played lots of Half-Life games.
Those two video games are in the same universe.
Yes.
But they don't spoon feed it to you. You have to figure it out.
Well, they also don't make games in that universe anymore.
True.
The game, I don't know if you've seen it. There was a leak of like what the story of Half-Life, either episode 3 or 3, just Half-Life 3, was supposed to be. I guess they made Alex, so that's the VR-only game. But
which that's like a prequel.
There was a lot more. Oh, right. Yeah, that was when Gordon was asleep. There was a lot of sort of tying together of the universes in that of the it's the one universe, but like of the franchises, Portal and Half-Life.
That in my mind, that was like the first time. It's weird that Valve did something Marvel did like 20 years before. You know.
Okay, then you might want to frame it the other direction then.
But I'm just saying that
it's weird that they copied Marvel before Marvel could do it.
I'm just saying that was a big deal for me when I was a kid, was trying to figure out the connections between these two franchises. And I love that, but it's just one of those things where that was a big deal for me, and it's crazy to think that they still kind of do that, but in reality, it's weird. Anyway,
Closing point on that, but there is a definitive point where they go too far with that, like people trying to draw lines between Dark Souls and Bloodborne, saying they're in the same universe. No.
But that's just from software. That's just from software.
It's, like,
that's just fans being like,
Fans get a little too over.
Too much copium.
Excited.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, let's move on to questions.
Please.
Questions. What do we got? What do we got? Now's your time, everybody. If you do Exhibition One Q, I just posted in the chat, and if you are on the mobile, listening on our pre-recorded software on Spotify or any of that on podcast networks, go to hashtag MWTB, Marks with the Boys. Tell us your questions for the next episode. And we're going to get into our questions here. Exhibition One Q in the chat. Doug, lead us off.
Question number one, is Star Wars the most overrated of all the major franchises? More or less than things like Harry Potter or Marvel?
Who are you?
100%.
Absolutely.
You're about to kill Jiggy.
Absolutely.
I'm freaking out.
Overrated.
Do you think Star Wars is more overrated than Marvel right now?
That is a hard compare. It's just, they're both. I guess Marvel like sort of jumped on the scene. When was the first like Marvel comic book movie? Maybe in like the early
2000s. 2009 with Iron Man.
Spider-Man.
That was great.
Well, like the MCU, but
came
like
out first,
like Spider-Man's and stuff. But like as soon as the MCU with the Iron Man movies began there. But absolutely both of them. But I think Star Wars has just been around forever. They've been milking it for so long, and like they've got diehard fanatics who will buy literally anything that they make, which has made.
Did you watch Mando?
No, I don't care.
You can't say Star Wars is overrated without watching Mando, okay? Because I'm here. I'm gonna defend this. I put up my big shield. All right. I know that Star Wars has had a rough couple years since the mouse bought it. Star Wars has had a rough couple years. I'm the number one person to say y'all need to be careful. The sequels are rough. I'm sorry.
How many of the main 9 films do you like, Jiggy?
It's 6.
Okay,
no,
that's
five.
I'd say five is more than average of people who call themselves Star Wars fans, which is
I feel like most people are like 4, 5, and 6, and then like 1, 2, and 3 didn't exist. And
you're
7, 8,
not a
and
true.
Didn't exist.
You're not a true Star Wars fan unless you hate more than half the movies.
I actually think that the prequels are extremely underrated, except for Phantom Menace. I need to be drunk to watch Phantom Menace. 100%.
Do you like the Jar Jar is evil theory?
Yeah.
I love Jar Jar.
I love that.
I mostly liked Attack of the Clones, even though it's abhorrently boring. but
it's not that bad. Have you seen I don't know if it's a full documentary, but the video where Star Wars was saved in the edit?
Yeah, thing. It's amazing.
Well, because George Lucas shouldn't have been given any sort of decision making power, because once they sort of took that away from him, they made a good movie. And then whenever it became a very powerful franchise because of the good movies that they made out of the things that he shot without his input, then they gave him a lot of power for the prequels, and he made a bunch of poopy garbage. And
here's the thing, Doug. You say poopy garbage for the prequels, but I think that the prequels are extremely underrated. The prequel, I'm not gonna spend time. I know everyone's getting pissed off. Technofin's looking at me with the biggest clock right now. He's just like, you need to stop. But the prequels, from a writing perspective, if you look at them on paper, it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story of the rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker.
So,
the rise and fall of the Empire, and the rise of the Empire, and the fall of the Jedi Order.
So the events that took place during that were good world building.
Yes.
But the movies were absolute garbage.
I don't think that I'll give you that Phantom Menace is rough. Phantom Menace is rough.
I feel that the prequel trilogy would have been a much better story as a single novel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I agree with the sense that the prequels should have started with two. I don't know, Luke, what you think about this one, but I think the prequel should have started with two.
Have you heard of Machete Order?
No comment, man.
Do you like the prequel?
not really.
Okay.
Have you heard of Machete Order? The viewing order that goes 4, 5, 2, 3, 6 and eliminates one entirely?
Oh, well, I don't eliminate one. You need one to understand, unfortunately, crap, but like, you want to know my order? I'll give you my order. This is it. My order? 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. Oh, actually, I'm sorry.
Okay, just release order. Okay.
Yeah, release.
Want to hear my order? I call it the Jiggy registered trademark order.
Least chronological order you think. You do 4, 5, 6, 1, 2. You have to watch the Clone Wars. Then you watch 3. Then you watch
7
Rebels,
and then 8.
Then you watch. No. You forgot Rogue One. Then you watch Han Solo adventure movie. Then you watch. You don't need to get any of them. You just watch them. Deal with it. Okay?
Just watch them all. Okay.
Yeah, watch them all. Just experience it. All right.
You're a hoot, too.
Phantom Menace. Just get drunk. Okay. Just get drunk and watch the Phantom Menace.
There were a lot of cool characters in the prequels. But that was like the best part. Like the things I remember the most are Darth Maul and General Grievous.
Yeah.
Like
the fight scenes. And the fight scenes are cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
that's
like,
basically it.
It's just an action movie that's fun to watch at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, like all the, like, I will not condone a course of action that will lead my people to war. And like all the trade embargo stuff. Like, who cares? Like,
The politics hindered the movies. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And it could have been made better, but a lot of the politics were just jargon that made no sense to the viewer unless they got deep into the series.
Yeah.
The issue with the prequels, and I always say this, is that the way that you, if you watch the prequels, you need to watch the Star Wars 7 season Clone Wars Cartoon Network show.
That's reason like saying being, like this RPG gets good after 30 hours. Like you just got to put
in
the time.
But it's just one of those things where it really saves the characters and the actual experiences. I just wanted to pause here. Sorry, Raiders. I am dropping a metric ton of frames, but welcome to Marks of the Boys. Thank you, Jamie, for the raid. I appreciate you very much. Anyway.
What was the original question?
Star Wars is overrated. It wasn't a question. It was just a fact.
It was, what is the most overrated of all the major franchise? And then we immediately latched on to Star Wars.
So Harry Potter,
just
Marvel.
Harry Potter here. I don't think that the Harry Potter movies franchise is overrated. I think that the Wizarding World is now overrated.
Yeah, they've kind of pushed it a little too far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I loved Fantastic Beasts 1, but the second one's a mess.
Yeah.
whole show on Fantastic
spin-offs and stuff.
And then Marvel is the other example.
Getting absolutely milked, I think, is what Marvel.
It's getting milked, but at least they're still putting out quality products.
I'm so done with Marvel. On the scale of for me, it's Marvel.
It could have ended at Endgame, and I would have been happy.
Yeah, if only they had called
Marvel
it something
is
like
worse
Endgame.
Than Star Wars.
Yeah. And it's all a bunch of military propaganda, but that might be too much to get into
also
right now.
Also true. Yeah.
I'm just like, when it comes to Marvel, and this is again, people get pissed off at me because I said that literally the only movie that I'm excited about right now is Spider-Man, and that's because spoiler alert, everybody, there's a leak that both Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are in the film.
That's going to be wild.
And that's going to be, yeah.
And the current guy?
Fun. Yeah, so Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland, and Andrew Garfield. All three Spider-Men for the last decade.
It's going to be like Spider-Verse.
Two decades.
Yeah, two decades are in this, apparently, in this
film.
Cool. So it's apparently an absolute mess, and it's going to be amazing. And then Sam Raimi, the guy who directed both Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 with with Tobey Maguire, as well as a bunch of other messes of films that are so much fun, is directing the new Doctor Strange movie, Multiverse of Madness. And the title is called Multiverse of Madness. So you already know it's going to be a wacky adventure. Yeah. So I'm kind of just in that mood where I don't really know where Marvel is going, but I'll go see their fun movies. But
yeah,
I'm not interested I'm not interested in Eternals.
There's not a compelling overarching story anymore. But
I'm sure there will be, but yet.
All right. I'm we sure should probably probably move on.
Let's move on to the next one.
Anyway, next question. Luke.
Go ahead, Luke. Oh, okay. Do you have the doc open, Luke?
I have no idea what you people are talking about.
Okay, I'll just read it. What was the movie game you were most hyped, excited for, and then disappointed by?
Probably Harry Potter for the PS1.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire for the original Xbox.
Yeah. I stopped buying movie video games after that, probably.
Yeah.
I think for me it was Star Wars Attack of the Clones on GameCube. Hmm. Actually, that game has a really cool multiplayer function, but the story is rough.
Lord of the Rings Return of the King.
Oh, I had a bunch of friends that were really into those, like, Lord of the Ring movie games for, like, the PS2 and the GameCube.
Yeah, yuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were the first two
Iron Man.
I'm thinking.
So there wasn't a first one. They skipped Fellowship and went straight to Two Towers.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
Was Two Towers all right, or was it bad as well? Do you know?
It was bad as well.
Dang. Yeah. They were. Well, it was like you were the Fellowship and just running around and, like, killing orcs, right?
Yeah, it followed the story.
Yeah, okay.
That's about all I remember of it.
Gotcha.
I don't think this is a movie.
I think they put the important beats of the original movie in Two Towers, but it still wasn't. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think maybe it was a movie game. I was extremely disappointed about, which is really sad, was Star Wars, Lego Star Wars. I know this is weird. We were just praising Lego games, but Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens, in my opinion, was one of the biggest disappointments I've ever experienced in my life, because they put DLC behind a massive paywall, and it was to the point where it was like this garbage, like, fodder grind fest that was nowhere near the original Lego games. And if I remember like the original, like the complete saga, or even one or two, I remember playing that game on stream and saying, wow, this game sucks.
Yeah.
Was it made by a different developer or publisher or something?
No, it was made by the same developer too. Yeah. And but they added voice acting and they added like all this stuff. And it's funny because there's a current while Luke is waiting. While Luke is
he's frantically researching.
Yeah, I had to look something up. I've got it now.
There's a new. I'll finish this up. There's a new Lego Star Wars game coming out called Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga that's been delayed 4 times. I don't know if you guys know this. It's made by the same company that made the originals. It's been delayed 4 times. They still don't have a release date for it, as far as I'm aware. And their reason is they want it to be the greatest Lego game ever made.
Okay.
So that's the actual quote. So the way I look at it is keep delaying it until you have a product you like, but please give me a product, deliver on that. Deliver on that you want it to be the greatest Lego Star Wars game ever made.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun doing that, man.
What's your disappointment?
Do we all play
Star Wars? Yeah, it's behind me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great game.
All right.
I had to look it up. Because I just like completely forgot this existed until now. But the movie Wanted, you know.
Oh, curving bullets.
Where you have to curve the bullets.
That game was kind of cool because you could curve bullets. Yeah, that's all I remember.
It was, yeah, the game, like the curving the bullet thing was cool, but the rest of the game was horrible.
Yep.
It was so bad. But
I played
saw the movie and I was like, yes, this is a good idea. You can curve bullets and stuff. And it didn't work.
I dare not
the
repeat
movie
it here,
was a gimmick.
But the,
so.
The name for the easy mode in that game was kind of funny.
What was the name?
Refuse to repeat it.
Oh, is it?
Bad? Oh yeah. Let me find it. I think it's.
What's it called?
I'm not gonna be able to find it. It was called like. It was mean. It was mean.
It was mean.
Like true child.
Something like
that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably worse.
Yeah, yeah. To my knowledge, I'll tell you after the show. I'll tell you when you're older.
Oh my god!
Oh, you found it.
I looked it up.
It's
yeah, look that up.
The boys that's not rated explicit because of the fact that we don't have Scootish on it. I think this is Techno's going to be excited. This is the first Marks of the Boys that's not going to be rated.
I think someone said a swear earlier.
Yeah, look in chat.
Oh.
Oh.
You got it.
Oh yeah! Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Let's move on to the next question, Jiggy.
Jiggy, that's me. That's my name. What is your guilty pleasure movie game?
Movie game.
I don't really play movie games because I don't play video games.
But what one that was like inherently bad did you really like when you played it?
Really like. Oh, that's hard.
I mean, we know TBs.
Ratatouille the game, dude.
I would either say The Incredibles.
Oh, okay. I was thinking.
Or 007 Nightfire. Mm. While Nightfire. Not like inherently based on a movie, but it's still bad.
I thought you would say Curious George.
Yes, dude.
Oh, Curious George as well. Yeah.
Curious George, dude. Mine is definitely game. Yeah. Definitely. mine is definitely James Bond Quantum of Solace. It's such a bad movie game, but it's such a fun third-person shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Was that PS3?
I don't remember. I think I had it for the Xbox 360.
I was going to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles right now.
So the arcade games were great for TMNT. Like, those were super good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, unironically good. Like, very good licensed property. Like, those rocked. I forgot to bring those up earlier, but they did cross my mind. Probably the Harry Potter RPGs on the Game Boy Color. Like, those are, I think, honestly, good, but, you know, I have a broken radar for things that are good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should, like, kind of off topic, but we have in our future topics game reviews and why 6 out of 10 equals 0 out of 10 about, the gaming review culture.
Yeah.
So we should visit that.
That's a great
topic
idea.
Sometime
we could just browse like Metacritic and just sort of make a lot of good points, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, last question of the night.
Last chance to get in here before we ask it. Last chance if you have any questions for us to get it in here. Last chance. We're gonna answer that. TB.
Have you ever purposely bought somebody a movie game that you knew was bad?
I mean, probably for a kid.
not a
game for them, but I bought a bad game for people because it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I've bought like bad games for people, but
I've bought bad really movies for people.
True.
I've never bought a bad movie game for somebody, but I definitely bought the Super Mario Brothers movie for somebody.
Oh, great, that's movie. A good movie. What are you talking about?
Dennis Hopper is Bowser. Let's go.
Excuse me,
it's
Luke?
Bob it's Hoskins. It's bad funny. It's bad funny.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, this would be my answer, even though it's not near a movie game, but we used to pass around a Steam game called Time Gentlemen Please and Ben There Damn That Special Edition Double Pack.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I bought Glover.
Glover, let's go.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I love Glover.
I glove that game.
I bought Glover at one point was like to the point where it was like 5 cents on eBay. I think it was more than that. It was like 25 cents on eBay. So I bought like a bunch of copies and I would just give Glover away.
That's awesome.
Even people that didn't have N64s, I would give them Glover. And it was always a grand adventure. And Glover's actually not that bad of a game, but it's funny. So
it is funny.
But no,
I sold my Game Boy Advance Rocket Power game to somebody. Does that count? God, what a bad game.
Yeah.
Got him.
Yeah. My last thing here, I do want to announce this for everybody that's watching or everyone listening on the thing. Next weekend, the 14th through the 15th on twitch.tv/jiggy11. I'm not self-promoting, but kind of am. We are doing a charity event called Big Broadcast for Good. We're raising money for St. Jude. You want to be here, just come on over. I have to plug it into the podcast.
Oh, wait, he is hijacking my branding.
You know how many people have come to me that's like, TB's doing a charity event? I'm like, dude, it's just, he doesn't own For Good.
You could have named it Big Broadcast for Charity. But
yeah, TB?
Yeah.
Big BB4C? Big
yeah.
Okay. Anything to plug, Luke? Anything you got going on? Thank you for being our guest.
I don't know. What am I allowed to plug? Anything?
What? You're a guest here, dude.
You are our guest.
Yeah, dude. Hey, everybody listening right now. I'm going to be streaming on twitch.tv/Zeldathon today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and I'm going to be making a lot of Photoshop art, cursed Photoshop art, if you will.
Oh, excellent. I love it.
I asked the community for suggestions, and I shouldn't have asked the community for suggestions.
Oh no!
Anyway, I think that's it for the night. Doug, do you want to outro us?
Thanks for watching or listening. If you're an audio listener, we treasure all four of you, and catch us in 2 weeks when we talk about something else. And be sure to give us a 5-star review on whatever your podcast listening app of choice is. And thanks. You're great.